Whether you keep them in your home or love to see them in theirs, these are the creatures that bring us all together.
Reptiles. We're going to be delving into the experiences of reptile lovers from around the block and around the world. This is the Reptile Talk Podcast.
Boom. What is going on, everybody? This is Jeremy Turgeon from Brassman Reptiles.
And I'm Rob, and I'm creeping a reel.
And I damn near choked taking a sip of my drink watching Rob dance in the little square.
You gotta be dancing, bro. You gotta have some fun with your life. We are here but a small glimpse, just a glimmer in the eye of the world. And if you're not spending time dancing and having a good time,
look, I'm all for it. I'm in the middle. We are what, in the first day of spring?
And yes, this, March 21st. Today is my sister's birthday. Happy birthday to Amy.
Happy birthday, Amy. Hey. I am already dealing with the insufferable North Carolina allergy season. So,
bro, the pollen this year has been crazy.
Yeah. So if I randomly mute myself and then appear to be hacking up a lung on the on the screen, that's exactly what's happening. Oh gosh, yeah, man. But how are you doing, Rob? It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been a little bit, but I'm doing pretty good. I found my first copperhead of the season yesterday, which was pretty tight. There's this area that I suspected was a denning area for them, kind of close to my house. And I saw some in fall, and I was like, okay, this kind of looks like a little den area. It looks like it's got a rock pile that goes down in there. And I was like, I'm just going to come back here in the springtime and just like look. And heck, boom, yeah. What do you know? Good sized copperhead just chilling right there. And it's kind of been chilly this week. But it's been sunny, so I feel like they're probably coming out, catching a little bit of that sun in the early day, and then, retreating back into there for the evening time. And then also got my black box cages order in, so I'm going to be making a trip down there to pick up some new scrub enclosures here in the not-so-distant future. That's to say, this show this evening is brought to you by Black Box Cages. If you need a or a cage, make sure that you hit them up. One of the quickest turnaround times in the game. Not only that, they've got so many different options for their enclosures, and they have got just like top of the line, really nice stuff. So if you're thinking about getting a cage or a rack, make sure that you hit up Black Box Cages.
That's it. And you gotta let me know when you're gonna take that trip, because I'll jump on there with you.
Dude, I was like, okay, if I'm going to be making this trip, I might as well spend a little bit of time down there and do some herping while I'm down there and see if I can't find some stuff.
Heck yeah, dude. Heck yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then,
Saturday, we got our Herp Society trip down to the Venom Central Serpent Center.
Yes, I can't wait for that.
Dude, that is going to be a blast. I'm super excited. The people who I've been talking to who are going are really excited for it. So this should be a really cool trip to take, you know?
Heck yeah. It's a great kickoff to spring, man. That's
what it is. Buddy.
I'm here for
Hell yeah.
I'm all here for it, dude.
So what you been up to? What are you doing?
Man, I am, being destroyed by pollen. But but no, overall, I'm good, man. Just back from the Tinley, March Tinley Expo, which was insane.
I saw videos. Looked crazy.
It was absolutely nuts. I don't know what the official numbers were as far as heads through the door. But, man, when I tell you the line Saturday. So, before I get to that, like March, most of us know that like March is like the smaller of the two.
The chiller show. Yeah.
It's the chiller show. Like people maybe are getting, maybe if they got an early clutch of ball pythons or something, or like carpets or something, maybe they got a couple new
stuff that's left over from last year.
Exactly. It's the residuals. There were so many people through the door. You'd have thought it was October. I mean, the weather's about the same, but, for Chicago, but dude, I was shocked. So if you go to the US Arc Instagram, shout out to US Arc, of course, always. you'll see a glimpse where like I'm walking down that main hallway to get to the line to get your ticket. I didn't even get like a third down the hall, and it's just people. And that line went out the door. It was insane. Yeah. For like general admission, like there's just a crowd of people in that little foyer. And Brian Potter was like, he had yelled to the guys at the security at the door for doing security. And they're like, just let them in. Like, we need to. So just let them in. It was freaking insane, dude. But yeah, fun times for sure. But outside of that, man, just pairing up Amazons. Got a couple ball python clutches that'll be due in the next month or so. DG clown stuff and whatever. Cool. Some cool things. It's okay. There's spider in there just to irritate folks. So it's.
Oh no, I like that. That means they're going to be even cooler. So
exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I'm, with the exception of being obliterated by the spring allergy season, I'm doing pretty damn good.
Dude, hell yeah.
So hell yeah. But that's I'm tight. Super stoked for tonight. Our guest, Jared Carmichael, we're going to be talking about a bunch of cool colubrid species, photography. It's going to be a bunch of different stuff. So without further ado, let's get him in here. Bam. What's going on, dude?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing pretty good, man.
I'm really excited to have you on tonight, man. You're working with so much cool stuff and, you know, stuff that not a lot of people are focused on. So I'm hyped to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me.
Heck yeah,
man. Hell yeah. For people who might not know about you or heard about you, if you could give a quick, like, how you got to where you're at right now and then kind of what species you're currently working with, it'd be great.
I started as a kid. I had a garter snake called Stumpy who got ran over by a lawnmower and had a stump tail.
Oh, man. Oh damn.
So I kept him for a few weeks and let him go, but that kind of really got me hooked. And I, you know, always would catch frogs and turtles and snakes and keep them for a while. And then when winter came, I'd let everything go. I did actually have a garter snake that got frozen in the water bowl outside before I was able to let it go. And
oh damn,
we thawed it out and it was like
perfectly fine.
It was that was like a pretty wild experience. I kept it over the winter and then let it go in the spring.
Dang.
And then in high school I got a ball python and then another ball python, and the ball pythons never really did too great in my bedroom setup. It would get a little cold for them, I think. And then I got a couple boas, and the boas always ate. They were hardy. Don't need an incubator.
Yep.
And, yep.
from there, there's a pet shop in Bridgewater, and I still see the guy around. Rob, you might know him. He's like a shorter guy. He used to work at Noah's.
Yep. I'm pretty sure his name is Scott.
I thought it was like Brandon or I don't know. Maybe it's Scott. Maybe, but he's like a firefighter in Brockton, but he used to do berms and stuff. And
yep.
He was like my gateway into like the weird stuff.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, yeah. I like was in between jobs. I had like two jobs. I was going to EMT school and like I got rid of a bunch of boas and I had a bunch of cages, and he was like, oh, let me set you up with some cool stuff. And he like gave me like a chameleon once. He gave me a pair of Timor monitors.
Yeah.
Viper boa. Just, man. I don't know, a bunch of like cool stuff that was like cheap then you probably can't even like get now. I don't know when the last time I saw Timor monitors were, but
for real,
you know, probably took it for granted. And then I got out of it for a while, and then I just had a near and dry carpet python for like, I don't know, years and years and years. And then about 5 years ago I got back into it and made a reptile room, and here we are.
Heck yeah.
Hell yeah.
How fast it can go from I'm just gonna dabble back into things to I got a whole room of these things now.
Yeah, it's ugly. It's not. Yeah. Yeah. I really need to like downsize and focus.
Nonsense. Keep everything.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, I remember going to that pet store when I went to Bridgewater, and I would go there like when I just had some downtime. And there was one time where he's like, hey, man, I got some like extra, like bigger snakes down in the basement. Will you go feed them for me? And I remember going down there and, dude, those snakes were like gnarly. They like not bad, like not bad looking, but they were like, I'm coming for you.
Yeah. So,
I remember one time one like almost caught my hand and I was like, okay, I need to be a little more careful when I'm doing this.
Oh man.
It was crazy. I'd give him $25 and he'd come back with all this crazy stuff, and I don't know, you can't like, even like get any of it now. Like, I don't know, like what was it, the white lip pythons and like the cloth pythons, like all that stuff was trash. And now it's like you can't get it.
Yep.
So true, man. So true.
Yeah, I remember that shit. That was crazy.
One of like the Massachusetts Reptile Expos, they had like water pythons for $50.
Yep.
You
want to hear something that'll hurt your heart? I remember going to the White Plains show, and this was kind of like when I was getting into keeping a lot of bloods and short tails, and Regal Reptiles had a Bismarck ring python, a female aberrant Bismarck ring python that was like maybe 2.5 foot long, and they wanted $200 for it, and I took it out, and I was like, man, this thing's cool. This thing is so cool. And I knew the guy who was running at the time, and he was like, dude, I see you all the time. If you want it, I'll do like 150. And I was like,
I don't know.
I'm going to look around. I kind of want to get some blood pythons right now. So I think I'm going to pass on this, bro. I still kick myself over that. Because I know that on my Facebook, I have pictures of it. So it's like, you know, recently enough where I would have pictures on Facebook of it. And I turned down a $150 beautiful abandoned ring python. And that makes me sick to my stomach every time I think about it.
Rob, when I see you Saturday, I might hit you.
That's okay. I deserve it. Even 10 years, 15 years later, I still deserve it. Yeah.
Only because they've only gone up in price tenfold.
Yeah, 150-fold, like crazy.
And like, can you even like get your hands on them?
Not really.
It's so, I mean, there's few like and a, far between, man.
Yeah, there's like two people who are breeding them on any sort of regularity, so it is what it is. But you've had some success with like the red-tailed green rats, right?
Yeah. The past 3 years, I've got eggs every year. This year, I have three pairs together, so I'm hoping I can get some. I have three eggs in the incubator, but that's all I have so far this year for red-tailed green rats.
That's still huge, man. Like, not a lot of people working with those, or you know, there's a couple of people who might have one, but there's not people who are like really, really breeding them, you know?
Well, so that's kind of what started. I wanted them and I couldn't get my hands on them. And then I got my hands on like a couple of the silver phase.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, I was like, oh, I want to try to breed these. And of course, I kept buying like females, and they're all females with hemipenes, you know.
Buying them,
and finally got like a group together, and then one would die. But I don't know. I feel like it's like you gotta like just source good ones, and they either do really well or they do really terrible quickly. There doesn't seem to be much in between. It's like they crash and burn really quick, or they do really well.
Yeah, I think that when it comes to that sort of thing, that importation process is really, really hard on them. And I think that because there isn't a huge emphasis on them, it seems like they don't get as much attention as like the higher dollar animals. So people are less likely to, you know, set them up and spend extra time taking care of them in the importation process.
Yeah.
And so when you get them, you have to do all this like extra stuff.
Yeah.
To try and get them back on the right track. And sometimes you just get to them too late, you know?
Yeah. Which was like discouraging at first. Cause like,
yeah.
I always tell people, I'm like, yeah, they're like the most expensive cheap snake I ever had. Cause you know, you get them in, you give them all this attention, and then they just crash and burn, and then you got to start over.
Yeah.
And then they crash and burn and you start over. But I have a good group going. And then last year I had like two unrelated clutches of eggs. So I got like unrelated pairs into like a bunch of people's hands. So that'll be cool.
Heck yeah.
Eventually, hopefully they start doing better. And there's like a little group on Facebook and there's like a couple people working with them and trying to get stuff going. So we'll see what happens over the next few years.
Dude, hell yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I feel like people just don't know enough about them to really be into them because people love green snakes. Like green snakes are top tier, you know, people go crazy for them. And it's like, you know, people like colubrids. They're super hard. You know, once they're established and everything, they're super hardy. They're like, and they're the arboreal. So like, it's got all these different factors that would make it such like an ideal snake for people to get into that want something a little different, something a little bigger, something a little more display oriented. And I feel like they don't get the, you know, attention that they deserve when it comes
to that. I think the problem is like, people want to get them. The ones you get aren't in great shape and people want to play with them. And I've kind of been treating them like a fish. Like you look at it, put you don't touch it, let it be.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good rule of thumb for most imported things in general. Just kind of like set it and forget it. Yeah. Like it needs to establish and you poking and prodding at it is doing the exact opposite.
Even like the simple stuff, like the boas, like I've always noticed like over the years, like, you know, there's like certain parts of the season where you're like all over your animals. And then there's this other seasons where like you're giving them less attention. And I almost feel like snakes do better when you're giving them less attention. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, but everyone wants to play with them, which I get it. I have snakes I play with and then there's snakes I leave alone.
Yeah.
But
I think that when they do a little bit more research and looking at like, because I know that they're just starting to do research on like some monitor lizards and stuff and testing cortisol levels in them due to stress from being kept and the way that they're kept and blah, 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 blah. I think that that will play a role in, you know, follicle development and in successful breeding and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, don't get me wrong, being in the wild is a stressful environment, but also having a giant, you know, alien grab you up every day and pet your face and, you know, trying to get past that instinctual, you know, genetic desire to want to run away is a whole different thing than just being in the wild, you know.
I also feel like all these people in these Facebook groups, like, are... there's only one way to do this. You have to do it this way. If you keep your animal in a tub, you're an animal abuser. We're like, I don't know. I feel like it is really situational. Like my snake, like my like baby colubrids I have in tubs, but like the adults I do have in cages, but I started them in cages when I didn't have a snake room, like up in my house and they did terrible and they did better in the tubs. Like if they're in an area where like people are walking around all the time and like I do think it's appropriate. I get it, they're an arboreal snake, but I feel like it's more beneficial to them to like keep them hidden and feeling safe than keeping them stressed out, because like they are a snake that will stress themselves to death. They'll smash the side of the cage, they'll dart. Like you gotta like let them feel like they're not being seen.
Yeah, I think that does play a huge role. I remember when I was in Maine trying to breed Amazon tree boas with Jason Chapman up there, like the stuff that we tried to keep in cages, we could not get them to reproduce, man. We tried a couple different cages and then throw them in tubs, babies, you know, like right away. It's like, you know, racks had their place, cages had their place. I think the people who think that it has to be one way or the other are kind of shutting themselves off to, you know, I feel like when people have such a stringent mindset on things like that, they are ultimately hurting their own knowledge, because there's so many things you 100%. Can learn from people who keep in racks, and there's so many things you can learn from people who keep things in fully planted bioactive enclosures. And, you know, there's this line that you can kind of ride, and yeah, and certain animals do better in one, certain animals do better in the other, and you know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, and there's also that element of individuality, right? Like sometimes you have an individual animal within a species that's just like, no, man, I know ball pythons typically do better in racks, but I've had mine in a 4x2x18 cage, and it's thriving.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's great.
I agree with that too. Like, you can make almost anything work. Like, I have, like, some of the red-tailed green rat snakes won't eat unless they are in an enclosed space. So, like, I have, like, a bunch of these, like, I forget the brand, but they're, like, Tupperware containers. Like, it's a little bit bigger than a 6-quart Tupperware container, and half the lid flips up. So I stick those in there and leave one of the lids flipped out. I use them as nest boxes, but I also, like, the snakes I keep together, when one of them's in there, I'll close it, defrost some ice.
Yeah, feed the other one, yeah.
Slap one in the little box, feed the other one. They're separated while they're eating. If it's a shyer animal that won't eat it, if I just, like, leave it somewhere in the cage, it needs, like, time. It has its time. It has its personal space. You know, I don't know. There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah,
I just feel like need to be more open-minded.
Yeah, literally, I set up some of my grow-up scrubs in my room in, like, 18, 24 enclosures in here, but they're glass. And I had, like, a few people message me, and they're like, you keep them in glass enclosures? And I was like, well, like, I don't spend a whole ton of time in my room. I spend, like, a little bit of time in my room, but I don't spend, like, a ton of time in my room. And the snakes that I've got in these enclosures are all, like, I've not seen any, like, disturbance in their feeding schedule. They all shed perfectly. They, you know, two of them have been in these enclosures for, I don't know, almost a year now, and the other ones have been in there for almost a month now. And I've got one of them that's really shy, that, like, it basks when I'm not in the room, and then when I come in the room, it goes and hides. But all the rest of them sit right out in the open, do not care. They're perched up, they come right to the glass to see what I'm doing. They, like, don't care at all. And from some of the other people I know who keep scrubs, they're like, oh man, I could never, my snakes just would not do that. And they're like, how do you keep humidity? I'm like, I'm in North Carolina, man. The air is humid here. Like,
yeah, it's humid.
It is so humid.
Yeah, my like oldest pair of the red-tailed green rat snakes I have are in Exoterra. They're in one of those 18 by 36 by 36.
Yeah, and the big ones. Yep.
I wish I had a bunch of them. They're my favorite. You know, I mean. Yeah, it's hard to keep human, but I have a hose in my room, so it's like
literally, it's like
spray them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. Like, and you know, people online will give me, oh, it's in a glass cage. Like, okay, go keep your hamster.
Yeah, are you breeding them? That's what I thought.
Yeah, right.
It's like people just like are like so invested in what everyone else is doing. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing too. And like, we've certainly talked about it a lot on this podcast, like, you know, just discussing the humidity, like where you live plays a difference
in the country,
in how you maintain, you know, those parameters, but knowing how to mitigate those situations, like you're in Massachusetts, so it's going to get drier than it will here in North Carolina. So what, you got a hose, you spray it down. It's not that big of a freaking deal, man. You know? Yeah. So yeah, it goes back to what we were just saying before. Like, there's more than one way to skin a cat, you know, but husbandry practices are going to vary in different parts of the country. So yeah, when people lose their minds and like Facebook groups and stuff like that, it's just like, you have no idea. Like, well, your sample size is very small.
If I'm keeping something up in my house, I keep it totally different than how I'd like keep it in my snake room. Cause like, it's a totally different environment.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People don't take that into consideration at all.
And you know what? I remember doing like the nerd tour, and you guys had like a bunch of, they look like lockers with like little screen boxes on the top, and they were labeled tiger rat snakes. And I was like, I wonder it's, So when they're doing these tours, these snakes aren't freaking out because there's a million people in these rooms. And, like, I don't know. They're just, like, you got to, like, problem solve the individual, like, species instead of, like, everything's cookie cutter.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The speaking of tiger rat snakes, you've got some Spilotes, right?
I just have a pair. The female's doing really well. The male's, like, he just runs. He runs, he runs, he runs. So he's only eating live, and you have to leave it in there overnight. The female's very confrontational, so she's easy to get to
comes eat. Right out.
Yeah, comes right out. It's more like a stress reaction that's like getting her to eat, I think. But it's she's eating. She's doing well. The male's been a pain in the butt, but he's huge. He's, like, got to be close to 9 feet.
Damn.
Like,
he won't even try to bite me. He just runs. Runs away, runs away, runs away. He's been a pain to get to eat, but I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
I Spilotes are one of my loves when it comes to colubrids, and I don't have any right now, but I used to keep them, and, man, I love Spilotes a lot. They're such a unique snake. You'd never seen a snake eat a rodent so fast in your entire life until you've seen a Spilotes eat something, because it touches their mouth and then it's gone, like, almost immediately.
So cool. Yeah, it is cool. But yeah, you're actually the one that put them in my hands the first time. We're doing like a little like show at Bridgewater State.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I always want them, and I got one a few years ago at one of the reptile expos, and it, like, didn't even last 24 hours. I was pretty bummed.
Yeah. Mm. Those imports, man. It's a bummer. Yeah, I remember that day. I brought the Spilotes, and I remember you checked it out, and I think there's one other person who wanted to check out the Spilotes too, and, like, John McAllister was there and everything, so we did like a little tiny demo and just like showed some people on campus some snakes and stuff and hung out for a little bit. But yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. I like, can't believe like how big they are and how light they are. Like, they're very like bird-like. They're weird.
Yeah. And when they puff up too, the like triangular shape of their body is just so unique, because Their belly scales are so wide that when they're sitting on you, it's like they just glide. It's crazy.
That's that arboreal nature to be able to just weave through branches and twigs like it's nothing.
And they have like the long, like long feather like scales. They're just really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I hope I can get them to do well. We'll see.
It makes you think of like the what is it? Oh, man, I'm probably gonna pronounce it wrong. The Firefanix, the bird snakes. I can't remember what the common name is.
Oh,
those are
really
cool
too.
The
post-Linotus? I don't think degroup those or did. I don't know what the they changed that stuff too much.
The one that's like it's Spilotes, but it's not Spilotes anymore.
Yeah, it's like it's not the sulfurous
or something.
Yeah, Firefanix. Yeah, something like that. The like reddish and gray speckled ones.
Yeah.
From the couple of people I was talking to about them, they're like, in order to get them to eat, you have to hold them in your hand and then like whack them with the mouse in order to get them to eat. And
I was thinking about trying that with the big male Spilotes, but I didn't know if a disaster wouldn't happen.
Do it.
He's huge. But I don't know. Like, I would really love to get him off live if I can.
Yeah, if he's a runner, honestly, I would try it, because like I had some when I had the baby Spilotes a bazillion years ago, that's how I ended up getting a bunch of them to eat, was I had to hold them in my hand and then, you know, tap them on the sides with the mouse a whole bunch of times. Then eventually they would like defensively bite, and they would bite it and they would hold on to it and they're like, oh, this is food, and then they realize it and like swallow it down. And then I just found out that like a couple of the baby corn snakes, I mean, all these corn snakes are eating great now, but like when I was first getting them feeding, a couple of the ones that were like being picky, I tried that and they took right away. So I was like, I wonder if this is like the hack that no one talks about.
Yeah.
How do they live in the wild?
Well, in the wild, they're probably eating like little old baby anoles and shit. They're not eating mice. Right. So
no. Yeah, but it seems like some people like do that even when like they're adults. Like that's like how they get the adults to eat too. It's like seems like a lot of work, but they are cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's just like when I hear of like snakes that just run and run and run, sometimes you got to like have them restrained in order to get some sort of direction on them for what they're going to be eating, you know?
I had one of the baby oxys. That's the only way I could get it to eat. And then like it worked for like 3 times and then it kind of like tamed down and it didn't work anymore.
That's funny.
But luckily it started to like drop feed after that, but
you know, trade-offs, that's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad I started keeping colubrids. I wish I had what are they called? The Solomon Island ground boas a few years ago.
Oh hell yeah.
And I had like a gravid import and I had such a nightmare time with those babies. I wish I had kept colubrids beforehand because I feel like
it would have prepared you a little better.
A colubrid keeper has to be like dealing with those things because like I had like the scenting and like the cup feeding and
it's such a pain in the butt.
I actually did, so I sold like majority of the group to this kid Evan in Maine, but I kept like Evan K. And I kept a handful for myself. And finally, I was like, oh, I'm going to try and see if they'll eat salamanders. And I had 6 out of 6 eat salamanders, and they were dead in 48 hours. So,
damn.
Probably shouldn't be eating salamanders.
Yeah. I wonder if the redbacks or whatever have got some sort of toxin that's not good for them.
I fed them to garter snakes when I was a kid, but yeah, maybe the garter snakes can handle it. And
oh yeah, garter snakes can handle all sorts of shit. I've seen garter snakes eat toads, and I'm like, toads are toxic, bro. What are you doing?
YOLO.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Man.
This makes you wonder what they're eating out in the wild, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? You guys had those little Solomon Island horn frogs or something like that when I had them.
Yep.
I was like, I wonder how much those cost because they look like they're the perfect size.
Yeah. And if they have a habitat overlap, it probably is what they're eating, little tadpoles and little froglets from those.
That's true.
That would make sense. Little things to think about.
Those are like another snake that I feel like would be like the perfect pet because like they don't need like a lot of heat. They like do perfect at room temperature.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They're really cool. I think that they don't have the like flashy colors that a lot of people are into, which is like the one thing that holds them back is they're like perfect size. They are not usually super nippy. They got a really unique shape to their body. Their scales feel really like they're partially keeled and they're like smooth and also keeled. It's so weird.
Right.
And I think that, the babies, getting the baby started is a big
It seems like there's someone on Instagram that seems to be doing well with them,
like Stygian Exotics.
Yeah, I know it starts with an S. Yeah,
yeah, they're doing really good with them. I know that that Juggernaut Elijah, I'm pretty sure he produced the Isabel Islands a year or two ago, and then. Yep. He produced Viper Bows too. And man, there's somebody else too. Trace Harden from Durham, he produced the tree boas, Solomon Island tree boas. And his group is awesome, bro. His adults are like so freaking cool. And his female's huge. He's like, I think he's got 2 females and 2 males, I think. And he's got some really cool ones, man. And so he's produced the tree boas, and I love Candoya. So I try and follow each of the people who are working with them and doing the thing with them. I'm pretty sure that there's one other person or 2 other people who like I can recall are also breeding them, but like, you know, it's on such a small scale that it's like, you know, it's more sporadic. So I think Taylor is working with them too.
Oh yeah. He had gotten one or two of those gravid imports. Cause I remember talking to him after and he's like, there's so many babies.
Oh my god, and they're so small. I had quarter inch holes in the container they were in, and I was catching them all over my room. It was a nightmare.
Yep.
And I didn't even know any had gotten out because I had like 20 babies, and I was like, oh, this must be all of them. And then I brought my kids downstairs to show them, and my son's like, oh, look, there's some over there. I was like, oh no.
It's like some over there versus one over there. Yeah. It's like, no, there's more.
When I first started my room, I had like one of those fans, and they were like all like curled up on like the wire on the fan. And I was like,
oh damn.
Oh my god.
Sheesh.
Yeah. So there was like a bunch of them on the fan. I was like, oh no, my wife.
That's
stay away from that switch, damn it.
Oh man. Right. That's nuts.
So
dude,
what other species are you working with right now? Is there like projects that you're working on?
The past few years has been slippery. So you remember Frankie Morrissey?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I love Frankie.
So I reconnected with him like 2 or 3 years ago, and that's been a disaster. It's a disaster. He's always sending me home with stuff. He's always like, oh. He's like, oh, I bought a group of these. Take these home. Take these home. So,
dude, I love Frankie.
Yeah. So I have Lake Chapala's I'm trying to breed this year.
Ooh.
Garter snakes. I did Amazons last year, but I only got one baby.
Heck
yeah. Mm-hmm. The rest were slugs. And that was cool to see, like, the mother, like, eat all of it.
Eat the slugs.
Like,
yeah.
There's, like, nothing. Because, like, anyone that doesn't have a camera in their room, that's a mistake.
Get one.
Because, like, they're so cheap now. But
yeah,
that was, like, so cool to, like, watch and see. What else I have going on this year? I'm raising up a bunch of, like, porphyraceous stuff. Like, I've got Volante, Pultra, Cocci.
Hell yeah.
I just got a clutch of mandarin rat snake eggs, which is kind of cool.
Dude, that's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Mandarin rat snakes are king snake. Are they not? Like, yeah. They look like someone messed up somewhere. I was like, this is not a rat snake. This is a king snake. I don't know. I guess I'm sure there's rules. I'm sure. But
I got
some of those. I've got a bunch of oxys right now. I have the Prasinum or Pranasium.
Ooh, yeah.
Which I don't know if the female's gravid or not. She feels like she's gravid, but I don't know. We'll see.
Heck yeah.
I feel like sometimes when you get into that point of the breeding cycle, you're like, either there's going to be babies or there's not going to be babies, man. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I still have a bunch of boas. I'm trying to like downsize, and I'm just doing like more like weird projects than like trying to like keep up with the trends. Cause it's so crazy how like it fluctuates and changes. So now I'm just like trying to like make stuff that I think looks cool and I want to keep. Like I have like some like type 1, type 2 annery cross stuff. And I'm trying to see, like, I have some like really weird looking, annery stuff going on. Not that like, I'm doing anything with them, keeping it back, and we'll see what happens with that. But I have like a female that should be ready this year, and she almost looks like purple on the sides. Like, so I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens with that. Not that it's like really going to be like something I can like sell. I've been doing a lot of wholesaling with the boa stuff.
Yeah.
Saving me a lot of headaches. I keep some stuff like to do like the shows and stuff, but trying to like keep it simple and enjoy keeping snakes instead of making it a headache.
It's funny because a lot of people are like, man, I want to get into breeding snakes full time because I don't like talking to people. And I'm like, if you don't like talking to people, breeding snakes full time, your whole job is talking to people and selling them snakes.
Yeah. Well, that was definitely like a harsh reality for me, is like selling snakes is not as fun as making snakes.
Exactly. Yeah.
They are two different jobs, very much so.
Yeah. It is not fun. Everyone wants your snake for $50. Everyone wants to, you know, keep it in a microwave and tell you, like, you sold me a bad snake. What do you mean I can't keep it in the microwave?
They're like, I put it in for 45 minutes on high. Why did it die? Fine. And you're like, I said to put it in a PVC enclosure with a heat panel. They're like, that's a microwave. You're like, no.
No, well, it's not.
That's like, I don't know. I like, don't really like arguing with people. That's a lie. I do like arguing with people, but like not like people I'm like selling stuff to. Like, oh, well, I heard online that you should keep it like this. Then keep it like that. I don't
care. Yeah, then keep it like that, bro. Like,
do whatever you want. It's your day. You know, I don't know.
It's your day. I'm taking that line at the next expo I have to vend.
But
it's your day.
But I had a lot of fun at the last show I went to. I did more like trading and, you know, nothing crazy. And I've been making like, not like less expensive stuff, but like I'm wholesaling the like expensive stuff for less than I probably would get at the show. But like, I feel like it's easier to make the pet type sales at the shows. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, check out this cool albino or this hypo. You know, it's not exciting to a lot of the people, but the people that just want a pet snake, like that.
And they can afford an albino. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
For sure. Especially albino boas are so eye catching, especially when they're little.
Yeah. I feel like a sun glow boa constrictor is like the coolest boa constrictor because like they still look awesome when they're like big.
Yep.
They're underrated.
Yes, for sure. I think it's funny because like so many people are like, oh man, I need moon glows. And I'm like, moon glows are cool when they're babies, but then as they get older, they get significantly less. Yeah, they get significantly cool, less cool looking. And then you get a sun glow and it's like, oh, it's really pretty when it's a baby. And then it gets older and like a lot of them get even prettier. They get like more like pink or red on them. And it's like, that's still a cool boa, you know?
That's like, I have a lava lion pairing I'm doing this year, but even like the past few years, I've like held back like a bunch of like really cool pink boas and like the sun glows are cool, but even like the normal boas that like retain the pink are pretty cool.
Yep.
Those cool, the first time I bred BCIs, that was one of the things that caught my attention, like right from the rip as I was pulling babies. I was like, oh, look at the pink on this snake.
Yeah.
Like that's different, you know? So yeah, that's definitely cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Are there any other, so you said you got mandarin rat eggs. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Historically are kind of considered like a really hard species to breed, huh?
I don't know. I don't like, I don't know. I've like been like so much less involved with like, which it's like sad kind of like, I try to like involve myself like less in the community and like ask less questions because like I feel like it's been more of a headache than a resource now.
Than it's worth. Yeah.
Online, I feel like, I don't know what it is. It might be like a Safari thing because I am like an Apple person. But I feel like even like when you like look stuff up online, like there's just like not as much stuff on the internet as there was before. Like, I don't know if like all the forums are gone now, so you can't even like find the old posts and stuff.
Yeah.
So I've been like buying a lot of books on eBay.
Yep.
That's the way to do it, man. It's as social media is taking over like all of that. Like genuine information that was around 20 years ago that was easy to find online is now like on page 58 of Google search results because it's all just get buried under the social media chaos. So yeah, it's definitely a little more frustrating to try to find solid info.
Or like, I don't know, like if I have like a real question, I'll just like reach out to someone that like I know like actually has an idea of what they're doing. Cause again, like they're not going to give you the cookie. They'll just point you in the right direction. You know what I mean? And you kind of can figure it out from there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I got to ask, cause it's the selfish desire in me. So what attracted you to the Porphyraceae? Because that's that entire species is one that I'm just like, ah, I love those things.
So that's another, I show up at Frankie's house. He's like, oh, I think there's a bunch of these pulchra. He's like, why don't you take this home? Because I've always like thought the cocci were cool. Like a lot of this like cool stuff, like I hate buying snakes online. I hate it. I know it's like the norm and you gotta like get over it. But like I've got like a lot of the stuff. Most of like the oxy stuff I had to get online. But I try to get stuff at the shows if I can, or like from people, and even if I have to drive 2 hours,
a couple hours,
it's worth it. Yeah.
Cause I don't know. There's nothing worse than like, oh, your package is stuck at, you know, the Indianapolis hub. Oh, good. That's great.
Great. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it. It's only -15 degrees in Indy. That's awesome. Wonderful.
That's good. Yeah. It's perfect. So Frankie got those in my hands, and then, I reached out to Matt Most to get some cocci.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, you're breeding oxys? And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, well, you want to trade for some of these? And so now I have some Porphyraceae stuff in the basement now too.
Hell yeah. I like the Volente a lot. And then the Latticinctus, I like those a lot too.
The Volante, like, that's like another one, like, people had them in their hands, they would like appreciate them so much more, because like they're crazy. Like if you like actually have them in your hands, they're crazy looking. They're like this like peanut butter color, and they have these like red stripes and these like chocolate colored bands. Like they're insane looking in person, but it's like hard to like appreciate it in a picture.
Yeah,
100%.
And they're such like a unique shape to their head, and like the way that it connects to their body, it's just it is one of those things where you really need to see them in person to like fully appreciate them, because like I think a lot of people just see like pictures of cocci, they're like, oh, it's like a red striped snake, that's pretty cool, and it's like no, you gotta like see this in person to see like how vibrant the color is in person.
They look fake, they look like they're not really real. Like when I opened the box, I was like, this guy sent me like rubber snakes, like,
rubber snakes, like, what. Yeah, because they have like they almost have like a glossy sheen to their scales. So yeah, if you pull it out and it's like it happens to catch some light, you're like, oh, what's this weird like just bizarre moist snake?
Yeah, they're really cool though. I like them.
Hell yeah!
But that's how it happened. What else did Frankie send me home with? fox snake. That was like another one. Like, I've never heard of fox snake before, and He's like, oh, take this snake home. I was like, is this like a, because he said like it was like a new hatchling, and he sent me home. I was like, what is this, a black rat snake? I was like, I don't want this. Like, I'm not taking this. Home. He's like, no, and he like pulls out like the adult, and it like has this like crazy copper colored head. I'm like,
yeah,
what?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Like, what is this? Like, how are these not more popular? Like, I don't know.
Dude, fox snakes are wholly underrated. They're such a cool species.
Yeah, they really are cool.
Oh,
heck yeah.
Oh, that makes sense that Frankie would have those.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he always like, yeah, he'll like pull out like, oh, look what I got. I'm like, where do you get this stuff?
Oh, man, that's awesome, though.
Yeah, and he's awesome. He wants everyone to be like enjoying it. Like, he's like, take this home. Yeah, take this home with you. Like, yeah, I got a couple of them so I could send some home to your house.
Yeah. I bought extra to hand them out. Don't worry, it's okay.
Yeah, take some over here.
I went to Costco and got all these cocci. Here, just take a couple.
No.
Oh, man, that's awesome, dude.
Dude, that is sick.
Oh, man. Is there another... I know you're talking about downsizing, but is there another species that like has your attention that you're like, man, if Frankie gets one of these, I better get a call.
I don't know. I really enjoy the garter snakes. right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're like, I don't know how garter snakes are more popular too. I don't know if it's like the weird legality.
I think that's, yeah, it has to do with the legalities of it. Yeah.
But, I don't know. They remind me of lizards. Like, they're not even like snakes. They're like little lizards.
Mm-hmm. They're so active. Yeah. They're communal. You can set up basking areas for them and they'll all utilize it. They are much more interactive. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, I've been like cohabbing the Gonyosoma.
Yeah.
You know, I thought like, oh, everyone's going to throw me in prison because I'm cohabbing. Party's over. I'm going to jail. I'm cohabbing. But, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's, like, so much more, like, rewarding. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, because, like, I'm giving, like, all the snakes, like, bigger spaces because I can, like, fit more in a space. And I don't know. I feel like they do interact with each other and, like, they don't seem stressed. I know some snakes... I tried cohabbing all the Proscenium together, and
no, they can't handle that. It.
Doesn't work. Yeah,
it's like one of them gets going, and then it sets them all off.
Yeah,
yeah.
But no, I really like cohabbing. I'm doing Russian tortoises. I would like to like get something going outside for them, kind of like
that'd be cool.
The guy from New Jersey. I forget his name.
Is that
the turtle guy? Garden State Tortoise.
Garden State Tortoise.
Yeah. I've been getting inspired by like, his setups. Kind of cool. I'd love to do something like that.
There's a one of my buddies up in Maine. I don't know if you'd want me to name him or not, but one of my friends up in Maine, he overwintered his Russian tortoises outside. He's like, yeah, we got 24 inches of snow, but I built them like a subterranean area where they could get to, and they were fine.
That's crazy.
Crazy, dude.
Yeah. I bermated them the first time this year.
Yeah.
Which was like really stressful for me because like the winter was so weird. Like I was more nervous because like I was like, it's not going to be cold.
It didn't get cold enough. Yeah.
Right.
So I only like did it for like 6 weeks and I was like, I can't keep them in here because it's like, it's like 55 degrees. It's like.
And they're like thriving. They're like, Mother Russia.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'd like open it up and they're like, oh, they're like awake in here. Like,
what? Yep. Just so fucking doing their thing.
I cut that early this year.
Yeah, there's always next year, you know?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, my kids love the tortoises, though. They're like little horses.
Yeah.
You know, you feed them and. They chase them around outside.
Heck yeah.
They're not riding them, it's okay.
Yeah.
right. They do have fun personalities, that's for sure.
Yeah. Are there any other tortoise species that you want to work with?
I'd love to do the Egyptian tortoises, but I don't see that happening. And then we can't keep the pancake tortoises in mass.
Ooh, tomato.
Yeah, you remember Matt.
Yeah, where they had frill dragons band and shit, bro.
Don't miss it.
Don't get me wrong. I miss you guys. I don't miss Massachusetts and New England.
Right.
Shit was messed up. Hey, yeah. It is what it is. Have you looked at like Herman's tortoises and stuff?
I have. I mean, I actually did. I did get a Western Herman's. It's actually over at Joe Kenny's house. Joe Kenny has it.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
But I don't know. They're just like they're too hard to like source more of them.
Yeah.
To like get a group together.
True. Those we had some marginated tortoises at Nerd, and those ones were really interesting because like they had like the elongated shells and like the big flares are on the back marginal scales. Those are really cool too.
Yeah, I've been really trying to do like smaller stuff because I like doing.
I was gonna say
like,
you should just go balls to the wall and get an Aldabra.
Yeah. Yeah. Nowhere to put it at my house.
It'll make okay. a place. Don't worry.
Yeah. It's fine. You get a baby. You've got at least 10 years before you got to move down south. It's okay.
Yeah. Before that, that's like an actual horse.
Yeah, legit.
That one the kids can ride.
Yeah. And you won't need a lawnmower. It'll be great.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, gosh. It's funny. At Tinley, I was chatting with Aubrey. Because he's got his Aldabra
tortoises.
He's like, yeah, man, I'd never mow the lawn, ever.
Yep.
Like, that's what I have these for. I'm like, hey, dude, if it works.
I just think about trying to move them, and I'm like, oh, man, that stresses me out.
Dude, he's got to get a U-Haul.
Yeah.
He literally gets a U-Haul to move the big tortoises. It's insane.
Joe has one. He brings it to like the shows and stuff, and like has kids take pictures with it. And it's like,
yep.
What's that thing weigh? Like,
a couple hundred pounds? It's a cool 175. You know,
yeah, no problem.
It's not big yet.
It's a boulder.
Big. It's pretty big.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, compared to little Hermans or Greek tortoise or something, you're like, oh god. Oh man.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I would really love, I know this is like against the law for reptile keepers, but I would love to do like a huge enclosure with those, what are those? They look like Russian tortoises, but they're from, oh my God.
Sulcata, the African spur guys?
No. They're from where the oxys are from.
Oh, oh my God.
Indonesia.
Yes.
But they have, they look like Russian tortoises almost, but they're like.
It's not the plowshares, right?
I don't know what they're called, but it'd be cool to do like a big, like 10 or 12 foot enclosure and have like a bunch of different like species in there. Be cool.
There's a whole shit ton of them, yeah.
Like a
loop. I mean, that's basically what we did at the cave up at Nerd. We had. Fucking 5-6 species in there. We had sulcatas, redfoots, marginateds, Russians, Hermans.
Yeah. Or no, I'm not even thinking that. Like, do those and then have like red tail green rats in there and like maybe some like super small lizards that might be able to hide from the red tail green rats.
Just create the entire ecosystem. It's perfect. Yeah.
Something like that would be cool.
You'd have to do all the mostly herbivorous stuff because I know that a redfoot tortoise would see a snake and be like, oh, I'm eating that.
Going down, yeah.
Bro, I love redfoots, but oh my God, they're terrifying.
Dude. Yep. Don't take your eyes off them.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll grab you.
Oh,
sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes. If they're hungry enough or you look good enough.
Yeah. I would always have to tell like during the summertime when if like women went on the tour and they were wearing sandals and they had like red or blue nails, I'd be like, look, when we go in the cave, you cannot stand around because the tortoises will bite you.
That's true.
They see it, they'd be like strawberries, blueberries, and they would just go after them.
Yeah.
And the redfoots were relentless, man. They would just truck after you the whole time.
That's, yeah, the tortoises I feel like are when fast it, when they want to be.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And when it comes to something like food, like that's when you see the most stubborn elements of tortoise personality. It's I don't care where it is. I saw it. It's in that direction. I'm going that way until I can get it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, there's not a door or a shoe that can stop me. I'm going.
No. Disturbing.
Right. Oh gosh, too funny.
The sulcatas would literally open up the doors to the cave. Like there was a couple times where I come like first thing in the morning, I start walking down the hallway and I'm like, there's a tortoise in the hallway. There's two tortoises in the hallway. There's six tortoises in the hall. How did they get in the hallway? And then there's the sulcata like holding the door open. I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
The great escape.
I used to love that bird, you guys. The capybara?
Kookaburra.
Oh, kookaburra?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Hell yeah.
Sydney was the bomb. Very loud. Very, very loud. And it would be loud at random times, like 1 o'clock in the morning. I just picture if you had one of those in your house, man, like there's no place in your house you could be without it being really freaking loud. Yeah, you'd hear it everywhere.
Yeah.
Sheesh. Oof.
Yeah. Oh, pass. Okay. Pass on that. Pass on that. But heck yeah, man. We've hit our hour mark, which is crazy. It doesn't feel like an hour has gone by. Which is good. But heck yeah, Jared. So we ask all of our guests a final culminating question. Final question. So that question is, why are you not breeding ball pythons? The question is, what in the realm of reptiles, be it something that's in your collection or maybe something you've seen online, what in the realm of reptiles has you excited about reptiles right now?
I don't know. I kind of like what I have right now. I like the stuff I have.
Heck yeah,
those Japanese forest rat snakes are cool, but I'm not trying to buy expensive snakes right now.
Totally fair.
Trying to hear what I have.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, producing red-tailed green rats is always exciting. And then if you're working with mandarins and all that stuff, man, that is exciting in its own right, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that is really freaking cool. And if people want to see the snakes that you're working with and what you're doing, where should people follow you online?
Jared Snake Room on Instagram. It's like, so my family members and stuff can stop complaining that I'm posting pictures of snakes.
See, my family members, I was like, yeah, you can just unfriend me. It's okay. We're still cool, but I'm just gonna.
Yeah. They know. The people I work with are like, why do you have so many snakes? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
They're like, why do you want your third husband? Like, leave me alone. What do you think?
Right? But yeah. Why do you like husbands so much?
That's funny. Oh, God.
That's a riot.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate you. It was a good time. And man, any closing remarks you'd like to leave for the people?
Yeah, if you offer me $200 or $150 for a red-tailed green rat snake, I'm going to just mail them to Rob and Jeremy.
Yes, somebody submit those offers.
Okay, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate you. And I will we'll catch you next time.
All right. Later, guys.
See ya.
Bye.